I hope Jessie didn't leave her stand. Is that her guitar stand? Is it? Oh, okay. Oh, she'll be back around, huh? You're gonna make them stay up in Michigan, are you? Okay, Ecclesiastes 11. And go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And thank you for this sermon that Solomon preached or at least wrote down. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to recognize the vanity of life and help us to understand these words and help us understand the priorities that we should be following. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the theme of his sermon here is about the vanity of life. In chapter 11, he gets into what are the priorities. What would be what we should be at least putting as a priority in the life? And in chapter 12, he gets into the conclusion. He draws the conclusion. In chapter 11, he focuses more so on a good priority of life. In verse 1, we'll see the word bread. And in verse 11, the word light. So there's a priority for us. What is a picture of the bread? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the bread of life in the New Testament. And the Word of God is called the bread in Matthew 4. And the light would be, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. And the Word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he's telling us here in chapter 11 that we are to let our light shine and we are to cast thy bread upon the waters, verse 1. So that would be a priority of life. In other words, giving out the word of God. However fashion it's to be given, personally, or through mail, or through radio, or through the church, or sending tracts. Any way you get the Word of God or the Gospel out, that's the priority. Okay, so chapter 11, he deals with the bread in verse 1, and in verse 7 deals with light. Okay, cast thy bread. Okay, bread, symbolism of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon the waters, what's the waters? Okay, Revelation 17, verse 15, I use that one for that. Where Revelation 17, 1, it says that the great whore, the mother of Babylon, and so forth, so on, sitteth upon many waters. And Revelation 17, 15 says the waters are peoples. Okay, people is a plural, a word that's plural, it deals with more than one person, but peoples seems redundant, but that's a legal term. And remember, the Bible is a legal document. Peoples is referring to multiple races. We, the people, generally that refers to one race of people, okay, as the founding of America. But he says, cast your bread, okay, cast your bread upon the waters. Cast your bread, the word of God, cast it out there as in broadcasting seed, but get it out there somehow, however the seed is to go out there, get it out to many peoples as much as you can. The Lord wants us to obviously do it locally and then internationally through missions. Okay, and so he wants us to get the word of God out is what he wants us to do. And when we do that, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It doesn't give the time period of the many days. Many days in 1 Kings 18 was 3.5 years with Elijah and Ahab. The many days, I use another cross-reference there into Daniel 11:33, and that's an entire chapter about the Antichrist. So in that one, many days is a reference to the tribulation time period. And much of the writers in the Bible will have an undercurrent of the tribulation time period. The same is true for the wisdom books, and the same is true for many of the Lord's parables, where he would have like an undercurrent idea of the tribulation time period, because that is what precedes the greatest doctrine of the Bible, the second coming. So waters, peoples, bread, word of God, cast that out, get that out, and you'll find it after many days. He says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. I don't know why he chose those numbers. They are just there. And then he says this, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Okay, we don't know what evil is going to be upon the earth. Now, there's back in the 70s, you have Thief in the Night. That reminds me, Jen, Brent wants us to bring it, Thief in the Night. Okay, Thief in the Night was like one of the first movies put out by Christians or film that tried to portray the tribulation time period. Then you have Left Behind series, then you got a couple others trying to portray it. And I don't believe that they can portray it as bad as it's going to be. It's beyond the mind to realize how bad it's going to be in the tribulation time period. Okay, where cannibalism will be practiced directly, not pretending like the Catholic Church does today, but it will be practiced directly in the tribulation time period. Brother Scott Pruitt mentioned, I think he mentioned in Sunday school about the Muslims are teaching this now in Egypt, that it's acceptable to eat your enemy, non-Muslims. Okay, and so we can't imagine if you know anything about conspiracies. People say, are you a conspiracy theorist? No, I'm a conspiracy fact. It's a fact. Conspiracies are a fact. They're not theories. It's an absolute fact. Anybody knows with common sense that there are evil people who want to overthrow this country, and it's coming from the inside. I mean, that's a fact. It's been going on for years. Okay, and if you look at the conspiracy theories, or if you just look above your head when you come out in a day and you see planes flying overhead, and then you see a man-made cloud. They're called chemtrails. Congress has now admitted to these. Okay, and these guys are trying to manipulate the weather, and they're getting to the point where they are now drawing for straws, that they don't know what they're going to do, how bad it's getting, what they're actually doing to the weather modification and the poisoning of people all around the world. And we need to recognize that these international corporations have big names at the top, and these big names at the top, like Bill Gates and Ted Turner and people like this, have openly stated that 98% of the world population needs to go. They want to get down to 500 million. If these guys are openly stating these things, no doubt they are doing what they can to get that going. Okay, and so we don't realize how evil is out there, and it's just ready to pounce. Not saying that we have to be all nervous about everything, because our God is in control. He's bigger than their God. And he has to be the one that allows things to take place. Okay, but now we got a Jesuit priest as a pope, first time ever. Okay, and so, yeah, you know, hopefully the tribulation right around the corner, I'd think this would be a good year to start it. That means we're out of here first. Okay, but do we know, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth? How evil can it be? It's beyond our imagination how evil it can be. Satan, how evil he is, and what his true intentions are. Okay, verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And this next phrase was an answer I got from a lady when I asked her if she knew for sure she was going to heaven when she died. This lady in over in Madarieville, Indiana. You get over Madarieville, you got some strange folks over there. So here I go. I asked this lady, I was witnessing to her, and I asked her if she knew for sure she's going to heaven. And she says, you know, the Bible says if the tree fall toward the south and toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. I said, what did you say? That's the verse she quoted. I thought, whoa, at that time I didn't even know that was in the Bible. I had to look that one up. Who would answer a question like that? I mean, the same lady, you know, she goes to Bailey Corner Baptist Church where they got spittoons in the pulpits or in the pews. They don't want to waste that cigarette smoke because you don't want to burn it up. You got to chew it, you know, all that stuff. But no, they smoked it up like crazy because they rented a church gym down there one time, had a rockathon, rocking chair-a-thon, and had that thing so infested with smoke, Delmer didn't know what to do. This same lady, she's talking about smoking, and I said, what about that passage about Leviathan where he's got smoke coming out of his nostrils? I just thought I'd try to play with her brain a little bit. Where's that passage? I said, Job 41, Leviathan's the devil. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you're smoking a cigarette. It just might be like you came from there. I don't know. But I thought, man, what kind of an answer is that? Where the tree, isn't the Bible strange there? If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree fall, there shall be. Does it make a sound if you're not there? Why, every time I dropped one, it made a sound, a thud. And sometimes I wanted it to fall toward the north and the wind wouldn't let it go to the north and I had to use the loader to push it toward the north. So, what a statement. Okay, then verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Okay, the context is sowing the word of God, the seeds of God. Okay, if you observe the winds of opposition, you shall not sow. And the winds of opposition are blowing quite steadily in these days. Quite steadily. I mean, the churches that are used to be fundamental Baptist churches, used to be at least pretty decent, are now not decent. And it's hard to find a Bible-believing church. It's very difficult. Ask Brother Freeman. You know, they're going to leave another one. Can't find what they're looking for. Looking for a Bible believer. And anywhere you go in this country, it's going to be tough to find a Bible-believing church. And it's getting worse all the time. You go to England, you can't find anything. Go to Australia, man. And Sydney is larger than Chicago, and there's two Bible-believing churches that I know of. Two. There's a couple more fundamental Baptists that at least care to King James. But there's two Bible believers. One has got probably 15 to 20 people, and the other one may have about 50, 60 people. That's in a city larger than Chicago. Now, we can go up to Chicago. You can find Brother Dave David Huff, on the north side. Okay, and boy, I don't know. You got fundamental Baptists, but other Bible believers, I'm you know, drawing a blank. But true Bible believers, believe in the book in their hands. And it gets discouraging. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. If you start passing out tracts, you know, like around in the cities, as you go there, you got to have an extra person comes back and picks up all the tracts thrown on the ground. We believe in recycling. But if you don't pick them up, then you get charged with the littering. And it's discouraging to watch the way people are. But we need to be faithful, you know, casting the bread upon the waters, okay, and then sowing the light of the Word of God. Now, here's the thing that's interesting about the Lord. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, how does God's Spirit work, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. How God works is an amazing thing. Now, you know, I was just checking the inventory in the reference Bibles. I'm down to two boxes of lambskin Bibles. Off the PayPal only, last year was over $20,000 worth going out. And this past week I sent 20 out, and I've got three more going out tomorrow. And these are going all over the place. Every state in the union, United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, it's just going all over the place. You got Ireland, I had one, Malawi. I mean, I can't keep track of all these things. Now, how these, they're obviously finding on the internet, but I am not internet savvy to make the thing come to the tippy top, you know. But I just have to give that credit to God, the Lord doing that. There was a fellow that was trying to get gospel tracts into Cuba. And so he would take a boat, and he thought he had studied the ocean currents well enough. He took this boat and went out there, and he would dump some tracts in a bottle and then figure that they would float to Cuba. And he didn't know if they really got there. So he decided, okay, I'm gonna learn how to fly a plane. He flew an airplane, flew over Cuba, dumped all these tracks out, and then his plane went down in Cuba. So he got arrested. He got thrown in jail. While he's in jail, somebody showed him a gospel tract that they found on the beach. So he thought it was working. Now somehow he got exchanged as a political prisoner. So he came back to the States, and he became a head of an organization. So we think, great, you know, boy, what a wonderful thing. And sadly, just recently, he's had to admit to some fornication problems and resign the ministry. You see, so that's the devil shot his guns at this man who was stealing his kids, kidnapping his kids, you know, children of the devil, bring him to children of Christ. And so he's got to aim his guns at this man to take him down. And that's what's going on in the ministry. So these things are happening, and it's getting worse and worse the closer we get to Christ's coming. And we don't know the works of God, how he's going to work. We don't know how he's going to use our words. We don't know how he's going to use our tracts. I think one of the joys in heaven is we're going to see that gospel tract that I stuck, or Bev stuck in the beer things in Walmart. Where Bev goes into Walmart store and slides little gospel tracts in the cases of beer. That's a good happy hour track from Chick Tracks. And slide it in there. And how many the Lord is going to use that? Or if you get those postage paid envelopes, you send a tract back in that. What was it that got Bill Sneblin saved as a Satanist? On his check that he wrote to the Church of Satan, some bank teller wrote on there, "I'm praying for you." On his canceled check. In those days, they'd send the canceled checks back. Now that's just all. And when he saw that, then all his spiritual powers went kaput. So evidently, that lady was a prayer warrior. Okay, and so we don't know how the Lord's going to. We don't know how God's going to use our words to people. We have no idea. I mean, I'm sure if somebody witnessed to Saul and saw his reactions, oh, that guy's no way going to come around when he was as violent as he was, and then God knocked him down, and then he did the M180. So we don't know how the Lord's Spirit works in verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how bones do grow in the womb. You can't explain that. Or of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So it's obviously telling us, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort. Okay, rebuke and reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So just faithfully. There's a man in Australia. There were two men became well-known in Australia. One was Eternity Man. I don't think they're one and the same. Where Eternity Man just walked around Australia, the city of Sydney, and he wrote with chalk in cursive eternity and just went everywhere writing that. And it was just evident the way he wrote that, it was just beautiful the way he wrote it, and everybody's trying to figure out who's this writing this down. And after many years, finally a pastor happened to catch him doing it. So you're the guy doing that. And it became so popular in Australia that on a New Year's Day they even put eternity across the big bridge there in Sydney. But there was another man. I don't think it's the same man that he would. He had a store downtown on George Street in Sydney, and he would walk out of the store with a gospel tract in his hand. He would just look at a person, "You need to read this," and then walk right back in. And that guy did that for 40 years, not knowing of any converts. He knew nothing of anybody ever coming to Christ. And some missionaries in England, one missionary told his story about a gruff old man in Sydney that gave him this gospel tract. And somebody else in that meeting, "That same man did that to me." And another one said, "That same man did that to me." Well, one of those people wanted to find out who he was. And they went to Sydney, and they found out that he was still alive. He was basically an invalid at that time, bedridden. And they went to his room and talked to him and said, "You don't know this, but I got saved, and as a missionary, as a result of you giving me that gospel tract. And this person's the same, and this person was the same." And there was like over 40-some people in missionary work or in pastoring work that was a direct result of this man, and he didn't even know it for 40 years. And so a lot of those things we're not going to find out until we stand in front of our Lord and Savior. There's just no way. Years ago, a fella down at Rensselaer, Randy Cook, had found this little half a sheet of paper, and it had on the title of 50 Things That Happens to You at Salvation. He said, "I found this in Francisville." I said, "Really? 50 things in alphabetical order right there?" He said, "Yeah, I found this in Francisville." I said, "Yeah, I printed that. I organized it. I typed that. I'm the one that did that." No, "I found it in Francisville." I said, "I don't know how it got to Francisville, but I'm the one that put that together." "Really? Now, that's not that far away. Francisville's not that far away. Okay, but how I got there, I have no idea." Okay, and so any tracts that we send out, we have no idea how the Lord is going to use them. Send them, you know, I used to write, there's a fellow up in Elkhart called Georgie Vins. I don't know if some of you knew him. Georgie Vins was a Russian prisoner, and he was released as a political exchange under the Carter administration, came to America, and then he gave addresses of Baptist preachers who were in prison in Russia, and he encouraged people to write them. And I wrote a bunch of those guys. Just wrote several of them, never heard back. I mean, you're not going to hear back from people in Russia. And you have no idea what's going to happen to those things. Send gospel tracts across the world, you know, and all those things. We don't know what the Lord's going to do with those things. So he wants us to sow the seeds. Verse 6. Sow the seeds, those tracts that you put in the rest areas when you're traveling. Okay, and everywhere you go, try to sow these seeds. All sorts of different ideas. Verse 7, he said, "Truly the light is sweet." Okay, light, the light of the Word of God, but also the light of the Word of God is bitter within one's belly. Okay, the light. When the lights are turned on, the cockroaches will scatter. And that's often the case, and that's what you discover. Truly, the light is sweet. Jesus Christ is sweet to the soul. And a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Okay, here it's a lowercase S-U-N, but if you take a cross-reference, go to Malachi 4, verse 2, it's an uppercase S, and then lowercase U-N. Sun of righteousness. We know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Okay, the days of death. Remember that if the Lord tarries, and depending on how long he tarries, and I hope he doesn't, okay, then our days in the grave are going to exceed our days on the earth, depending on how long he tarries. And it says, for they shall be many. So we need to recognize that when we are laid in the casket, hopefully we left something behind, be it the gospel, be it something, that can live on after us. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And any of us over 50 can say, yeah, but I certainly wouldn't want to be young again. If I can be young again with the mind we got now, the experience, that's okay. But to be young again with the foolishness, okay, let's forget that. Okay, but rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee to judgment. Yep, that's right. We're going to face judgment. Now there he's starting to draw the conclusion here. And I learned as a kid, very quickly, that when the pastor puts his watch right up here, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. That doesn't mean he's almost done. Okay? And I can remember as a kid always looking back at the clock, you know, come on, 11:45, he's going over, 11:45. And Brother Scott was telling me that there was a Lutheran church that they had, you know, went to a while back. They had Sunday school at 9 to 10, and then church from 10 to 11, small Lutheran church, and then they all went to this restaurant. And the reason why they moved their services, because they beat all the Baptists who had church from 11 to 12. And that is the sole reason they moved their services. That's a funny one, bud. Okay, so he's starting now to bring this conclusion in, judgment. And that's the final conclusion in verse 14, judgment. So he's drawing it in. So that's what preaching is. Preaching is taking somebody from point A to point B to point C to point D right down to the conclusion to try to get them to make a decision. Okay, so that's where he's bringing us. We're going to face judgment. Therefore, verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Okay? We all know that. Okay? Remove sorrow from thy heart. Obviously, there's a balance in the Bible where he says that we are to, he said earlier about that thing on sorrow in chapter 7, sorrow is better than laughter. But here, now he says that. It's the youth that are looking for the fun or the joy. It's the elderly that are looking for the peace. Okay, and so he's saying to the youth this side, then he says to the elderly this side. Now he's going to shift it here from verse 9 and 10 from the young and verse 1 of chapter 12 of the youth. And then he's going to shift to the elderly, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So it's going to be a change in here. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And the youth, when you get around a college campus, they're going to argue with you till you're blue in the face and arguing about that Creator. So he says to the youth, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Okay, evil days. Now, again, as I mentioned, that some of the writing of the Bible, there's going to be an underflow of the tribulation time period. And when he throws this word in here, doctrinally, verses 1 through 6 is going to have going to be mentioning or describing some things to do with the tribulation time period. Actually, from verse 1 to 7. Now, practically speaking, the Bible has, you can look at it doctrinally, you can look at it spiritually, you look at it practically. Okay, practically speaking, in verse 1, you have the youth. And then he says, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In what? The days. So now, verse 2 to 6, he is going to describe the physical body in the aging process. And so this is describing it. Okay, and this is the, you know, it is the frustrating portion of life. Okay, where our mind knows that we can do some things, but our body's not letting us. Okay, and it's a frustrating portion, especially for independent-minded people where we don't feel needed. It is the humbling process of life because we're people and we're going to die if the Lord tarries. And so hopefully we rely upon the Lord a little bit more. Psalm 71 would be a great psalm, the entire Psalm 71 for the elderly. And it's very sad to me in our culture how the elderly are often put to the side. Where the Orientals do honor the elderly. Now they do take it to extremes where they actually worship the elderly in ancestral worship. That's obviously too extreme. But America dumping them off is obviously the other extreme. So in our culture, we definitely need to elevate the elderly in their wisdom and to give them honor. It's sad in the churches, the churches basically what they want is a young pastor and they want the youth to run things. And then you see the messes that goes on in those churches. Okay, wise is the youth that will stand and listen to the elderly. Where the elderly are the brains and the youth are the body. When I first started passing down to Rensselaer, obviously needing to do a bunch of work on the building and all things like that, Brother Delmer was driving a truck much through the week, and so he is a jack of all trades. Brother Delmer knows how to do about anything, it seems like. And so I realized his wisdom, and I realized my lack of wisdom of building skills. And so when we had a project to do, I would try to pick his brain, and then I was a body through the week come Saturday, and I said, now beat a brain and show me what I did wrong. Okay, and then he would, you know, say yay or nay. And so that's the best route to go. Okay, now verse 2, okay, describing the body in its aging process. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, okay, so your eyesight gets bad. Your arms aren't long enough. You know, okay, so your eyesight's get bad. Be darkened. Nor the clouds return after the rain. The day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers, your teeth start falling out. Okay, and shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Your back is hurting. Okay, and you're bending over. And the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease. Okay, there's the teeth again, because they are few. What do you have when you have 7 hillbilly women together? 1 set of teeth. Okay, that's how that one goes. And those that look out the window be darkened. Okay, so your back stoops, your legs are weakened, and your teeth are falling out. Those that look out the windows be darkened. You like to stay indoors. Who wants to go outside? It's too cold. Okay? And the door shall be shut in the streets, especially if he's in the city. Stay inside. When the sound of the grinding is low, so the ears, the hearing is going bad, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. They get up early. They like to watch the birds. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Turn that music off, especially if it's got the jungle beat. But they do like to listen to good music. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, they don't like heights. And fear shall be in the way. Little things scare them, and almond trees shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. Little things will irritate. He likes to stay home. He doesn't want to be a burden to anyone. And desire shall fail. Because men goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. Finally, the heart fails. The silver cord is loosed. And one dies. Wherever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And that's when we get to see our Lord and Savior. Hopefully the Lord doesn't tarry, and then we avoid the undertaker and get taken up by the uppertaker. But that's how that body's, how that the Bible lays that out. Now, spiritually speaking or doctrinally speaking, we'll go back and read through that, and we can see the same things take place on the earth during the Great Tribulation. The streets will be unsafe, okay, where and things will be in a mess. And prophetically, it's describing the turmoil of Jewish people in the tribulation time period. Okay, and so like I said, Psalm 71 is a psalm that is a wonderful psalm for the aged. And also in the New Testament, Philemon is a little book that's written to the aged or about the aged. So Psalm 71. And then there's a wonderful story in 2 Samuel 19 about a fellow named Barzillai. Barzillai was a gentleman that came to David. I think it was when he was had left, abandoned the kingdom when Absalom came in. And Barzillai took his life in his hands by aiding David instead of whoever was in the kingdom. And when Barzillai was old, David himself wanted to pay back the kindness he had. And Barzillai was a man that said, no, I'm an aged man, but I just don't want you to bother with me. Don't bother with me. And so that's the kind of gentleman he was. Okay, so we'll stop there. We'll come back, chapter 1 or verse 1, and next time run through it as far as doctrinally. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your word better and better. Help us to love it more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.